journey into the Citadel, where our pastor is Superintendent Johnson A. Bevan III. We hope you enjoyed this podcast.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. God bless you. We thank God for all of you on this Lord's Day, on this Sunday, February 28th, 2021. It is a good day, and certainly this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It's so good to see all of you coming on here this morning, especially those on the Citadel page. I see you there. Good to see everybody. Again, you can share and start a watch party with others, but it's a tremendous day that God has blessed us with. And we're certainly glad for those of you who are on the conference line as well. Always good to being able to accommodate everyone so that they can be along with us and to share along with what God has to impart to us on this day. We just thank God for all of you. And we certainly love, want to be a support to anyone and to everyone. And certainly on the ticker below, you see there is a, you can text us and let us know if you have any prayer needs. Also, if you have any questions, or even possibly if you'd like to be a part and become a part of our online church community to join Citadel, you can text 767-622-317-676-0134. Again, that number is right there below on the screen there, 7676. Just text that number to 317-676-0134. And you will receive a reply text with a link in it. And that link will take you directly to our digital connect card. Just simply complete that out. It takes less than 30 seconds. But in the comment section, let us know if you have a prayer need, if you have any questions, or if you let us know you'd like to become a part of our online church community. Just write, type in the comment section, online church. And also, please leave a prayer request if you do have that. We certainly want to be a support to you during this time that we are living in. And so it's just good to be together again in the Lord. Again, I see some of you still coming on here. God bless everybody. And let me know that you're watching. And again, please feel free to share to start a watch party. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we thank you for this day that you have blessed us with. First of all, God, you kept us in the night season. You protected our homes. Your angels were encamped round about us, God, simply because we fear your name. So we thank you, for Lord, for keeping us in the night. And we thank you, Lord, for waking us on this morning, this Lord's Day, even though it may have been a little bit rainy earlier on this morning, God. But yet still, we know that you are in charge of everything. We thank you for the sunshine, and we thank you for the rain. We thank you, God, for breath in our bodies on this day. And we thank you, God, for the physical and the health and the strength that we have that only comes and afforded by you. So we honor you this day, God. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that enables us even to come before your presence. And we thank you for Jesus, our elder brother, our Savior and our Deliverer, the one who shed his blood on Calvary's cross for us. God, we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. And certainly, God, we thank you for the impartation of the gift of the Holy Spirit into our lives and upon us, God, because he is the one who makes the realities of heaven real for us here on this earth. And so we thank you, Almighty God, for your presence in our lives. And God, I thank you for these who have joined us today on this particular Lord's Day, as well as, God, as those who may view this video later on at some point in time. I pray, God, that as I would open my mouth, that you would speak through me, God, and encourage your people. Give us, God, that which is needful for us in these challenging days, in these challenging moments, in these challenging times that we are facing. Even, God, in the midst of challenges that we personally are confronted with in our lives. We know, God, that our victory is in you. And we declare it even in advance that we have the victory even right now. And thanks be to God who gives us victory in our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Bless us for this moment, this time, God, as we attend to your word. And I pray, God, that your word will sink deep into our hearts and that, God, it will bloom forth and bring forth fruit unto your praise and unto your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. If you don't mind, just type something in there. Just let us know. Give a shout out to God this morning. And we thank God, everybody that's on. And so many others are coming on. We thank God for everyone. Those who are part of Citadel and those who are friends of Citadel, we thank God for you on this Lord's Day. So just type in a shout there, write a comment, give some praise to God. and give him the glory, because he is the one that all glory and honor is due, because without him, we are nothing, actually. But because of him, we can do all things. And because of him, we do have the victory. So I give praise to him. And I thank God for you on this particular Lord's Day. I thank God for my wife and for her love and just all that she is. She is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful wife and a tremendous person. And I just thank God that she is traveling along this way with me on this journey as we journey our way to heaven, yet still here on this earth living together. We've been having a tremendous time in the Word of God. I hope that you have been encouraged by these segments taken from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17 as we've been addressing the issue of the matter of confronting gigantic challenges. And we've taken a little bit of time just going through it. But one thing is, when we deal with confronting gigantic challenges in life, the key in dealing with them is knowing how to respond to them. But not like Saul and the Israelite army, as we read about them in this 17th chapter of 1 Samuel. And in looking at this story, we have now turned our attention to David's approach and his response to sort of extract some insights or principles to help guide us when we are facing a fierce foe or confronted with challenges and struggles in life. And the first or primary insight that we shared with you from this passage and from one aspect from chapter 17, verse 25 and 26 was this: how it is important to recognize the reality of what you see and what you hear. In other words, we have to recognize who was who and what is what. And we do this by having a theological perspective on the situation. I know sometimes when you're in the middle of something, it's hard to start thinking about it theologically because you're looking at what you're facing and so forth. But we're able to recognize who is who and what is what by having a theological perspective. In other words, seeing and hearing through the spiritual lens and microphone of God and not the human lens and megaphone of man. And so the first principle of insight was that to recognize the reality of what you see and what you hear. And just from 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 25 and 26, just as a recap, we're going to move on here. In verse 25 of 1 Samuel chapter 17, it says, "And the men of Israel said, 'Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel he has come up. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel.' And David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, 'What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?'" And again, the principle is that we have to recognize the reality of what we see and hear, or recognize who is who and what is what. Here in these two verses here, the men of Israel saw Goliath as this man, all right, who is reproaching and defying and disgracing the nation or the armies of Israel. But conversely, David saw Goliath a little differently. He saw Goliath as an uncircumcised Philistine, not just this man, but an uncircumcised Philistine, not just a man, but an uncircumcised Philistine who had the audacity to reproach and defy and dare to disgrace the God of the nation, not just disgracing the nation as the Israelites saw it, but the God of the nation and the armies, not just of Israel, but the armies of the living God. And so you have to recognize and see who is who and what is what. A second insight from looking at this chapter and this story concerning David and Goliath, a second insight or principle is from the confrontation between David and his eldest brother, Eliab. And that's from verses 28 and verse 30. And it says, "And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke unto the men. Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, 'Why have you come down here? With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the naughtiness of the evilness of your heart, for you are come down that you might see the battle.'" And the principle here Well, the insight from this is this. You have to realize that family may think they know you, yet they don't know the plan that God has for you. All right, we have to realize that family may think that they really know us, but yet in that, they do not know the plan that God has for you. Family may think they know and understand us, but at the same time, they sometimes may unknowingly underscore who you are because they are unaware of what God is doing with you and that God is positioning you to transition you for something new. And unfortunately here, Eliab, David's eldest brother, couldn't see the principle of Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21 being applied in David's life, and that God was positioning David from being faithful over a few sheep, as his brother said, to transitioning him to become ruler over many people. And that's what God was doing here. And sometimes family may think they know us, but the thing is, in what they see, they're not able to know or see or perceive the plan of God in and for your life. And so for the remainder of our time this morning here, I want to address one aspect of a third insight or a third principle to guide us when confronting challenges. And that third principle is this. We have to resolve to face the challenge. We have to resolve to face the challenge. You might want to type that in there. We have to resolve to face the challenge. Excuse me. The term resolve simply means to make a definite and a serious decision to do something. A definite and serious decision to do something. Now, there are two things needed to make this resolve when we deduce that we can deduce from the beginning snippet or the beginning portion of this conversation that we see and read about that takes place between David and Saul. And let's look closely at 1 Samuel 17, verses 31 to 33. And it reads like this in the King James Version. And when the words were heard, which David spoke, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him, or Saul sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go up against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth and he a man of war from his youth." And just quickly from the New Living Translation, sort of reads like this. Then David's question was reported to King Saul, and the king sent for him. In verse 32, David said, told Saul, "Don't worry about this Philistine. I'll go fight him." In verse 33, Saul replied, "Don't be ridiculous. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he has been a man of war since his youth." Now, in this, there are actually two distinct challenges I want to point out to us that we have to resolve to confront. There are two distinct challenges we have to resolve to confront. And the first challenge is the challenge against overwhelming odds. The challenge sometimes is against overwhelming odds. Now, simply, there is something that is always needed when you're confronting a challenge, and so that you can counter that particular challenge. And so what is needed when we are facing overwhelming odds is simply this: courage, courage, courage. Why don't you type there in the comment section? It takes courage to face an overwhelming challenge. It takes courage to face an overwhelming challenge. And I think you all know what courage is. Courage is just simply being brave and bold, all right? Having the audacity, just as Goliath had in coming up and defying the armies of the living God. But what is needed to face the challenge of overwhelming odds is simply courage. Now, at first sight, At first sight, it appears that the giant Goliath is the overwhelming challenge. At first sight, all right? It appears that Goliath is the overwhelming challenge. But when you recall, if you look at verses in that same chapter, verse 4 through about verse 7, it describes for us Goliath and what he looks like. And one of the things was his enormous height. He was at least 9 foot, if not more, could have been close to 10 feet. All right. So he had an enormous height. He had an impressive armor. In verse 5 and a little bit of verse 6, he had heavy weighted potent weapons. Also in verse 6, and he even had a human shield bearer, someone going before him. And of course, his presumably roaring voice that was spewing out this taunting challenge for 40 days to the armies there of Israel. But at first sight, Goliath appears to be the overwhelming challenge. But I want you to catch this. Lurking beyond Goliath is the real challenge that must be tackled first. Goliath is just what we see, all right? The giant or the challenge, what we think is right before us, what we see. We feel that that is the challenge, all right? But the real issue, check this out, the real issue lurking beyond Goliath is the real challenge that must be tackled first. And the real issue restraining Saul and the armies of Israel wasn't Goliath. It actually was fear. It was fear that was restraining them. Type in the comment section there, we must first fight against fear, right? We must first fight against fear, because the first challenge is against overwhelming odds. We've got to be able to deal with the overwhelming odds. And really, it's not what we actually see sometimes, but it is the challenge that restrains us, or fear. Again, we must first fight against fear. And here's the reason why we've got to do that. Once fear gets its grip on you, what it does is that it restrains you. Once fear gets its grip on you, it restrains you. Yet, when courage grabs a hold on you, it releases you from fear's restraining grip. So let me say that to you one more time. Once fear gets its grip on you, it restrains you. Yet, when courage grabs a hold onto you, it releases you from fear's restraining grip. So why don't you type in the comment section there, fear restrains, but courage releases, all right? Fear restrains, but courage releases. I hope you catch that there, all right? At first sight, Goliath appeared to be the overwhelming odd or the real challenge. But that was not the real challenge. The real first challenge when facing overwhelming odds is having to tackle this thing called fear. Now, when confronting challenges, especially gigantic ones, you have to first dismantle fear, especially fear of failure. And there are all kinds of fear of failure, fear of the future, fear of uncertainty. All right. But that's the thing we've got to first dismantle, is fear. And the thing about fear is this, it is an inside pressure. Fear is an inside pressure, all right? Fear is an inside pressure, all right? Goliath was what they saw on the outside, but that was not really the restraining force. The restraining force was fear. Take a look at chapter 17, again, quickly, verse 11 and 24. And again, after Goliath had come out, he's standing there taunting them, saying, hey, give me a man to fight up against me. In verse 11, it reads, when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Fear took a hold of them. All right. They were demoralized and they were dreadful. Okay. And then in verse 24, it says, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, Goliath, that is, they fled from him and were sore afraid. They were terrified. They were in fear. They were frightened by what they saw. Okay. But that fear was on the inside. It was on the inside of them. All right. And so fear is an inner pressure, an inside pressure that comes to us from something that we see on the outside. And that's why we have to first tackle and dismantle fear anytime that we're facing a gigantic challenge. All right. Now, the recently deceased, you know, I played baseball and love baseball. I don't know all of the players now in that currently in this day and time. But the recently deceased Hall of Fame manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers. He managed them for about 20 years from 1976 to 1996, was Tommy Lasorda. And he sort of used baseball to explain fear as an inside pressure. I'm going to read this. If you can't get this book, you might want to get this book. If You Can't Climb the Wall, Build a Door. That's the title of this book. If You Can't Climb the Wall, Build a Door. And that's a sermon all by itself, right? But here's how Tommy Lasorda, the famous Hall of Fame manager of the famous Los Angeles Dodgers World Series winning team. This is how he used baseball to explain this. He says, let's say it's the seventh game of the World Series, and we're winning 3-2 in the bottom of the ninth. They have the bases loaded, two outs. Their best hitter is up. If we coaches have all done our jobs right, every player on the field is saying to himself, I want the ball hit to me. I'm going to react just as I have practiced 1,000 times. Y'all know that old saying, practice makes perfect, right? Sometimes it makes permanent. But he goes on to say that the person, that the fielder will say in his mind, please hit the ball to me. All right. Now he says, if instead a player says to himself, geez, if it's hit to me and I miss it, we'll miss the game and the series. What he's really doing is that he's creating pressures, what Tommy Lasorda says, because he's thinking about failing. He goes on to say, you see, only when the player thinks positively can he deal with his fear of failing. And so it is, the first thing we have to tackle, the first thing we've got to dismantle is this inside pressure called fear. Now, when instructing the Israelites concerning war during his last days on life, Moses wrote the book of Deuteronomy and sort of recounts the law, if you will, and some of the last words that Moses gave to Israel as they were going to be preparing without him to go in and possess the promised land. And in Deuteronomy chapter 20, these words are recorded of Moses. And this is what he says to them. He says, when you go out to the battle against your enemies and see horses, and see horses, chariots, and a people more than you, be not afraid of them. And if you recall in the New Testament, so many times when Jesus would appear to people, when he saw the disciples appear to them on the water and other situations, the first thing he would always have to say is fear not. Even on the Isle of Patmos, where the beloved disciple John had been exiled in the last decade of the first century. All right. And he received the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he appeared to him, he told him to fear not. And so many times that's really God's first word to us when we're facing something formidable, a challenge or something that is overwhelming in our lives. And so Moses says to them, and fear not, don't be afraid of them. Why? For the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be when you are come near or nigh unto the battle that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people and say unto them, hear, O Israel, you approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint Fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies. What did David say? What did David say? What did David say? His first words to Saul was this, again in verse 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail or fall short or collapse because of him. What was it about him? Him being Goliath. Was it really Goliath? Or was it the fear that Goliath invoked and incited in the heart of the army of Israel? So really what David was saying is that let no man's heart fail because of fear. My God, my God. Fear is the first thing that we have to tackle. Fear is the first thing that we often have to tackle. And when going out to battle, going out to war, and facing some things that are formidable, some things that are bigger than us, all right? That's why we need to magnify God and not magnify the problem, all right? And sometimes that gets a little difficult too when you're in the middle of it. Well, that's all you see. All right. As we've shared with you before, sometimes Goliath will eclipse us getting and having a good glimpse of God. And if you want to go back and hear about that or deal with that a little bit more, look at some of the previous moments and times we've shared with you from this particular passage. But we have to, first of all, dismantle this thing called fear. And in dismantling fear, then the second thing is this. The second thing is this. Is that we then have to get a good dose of what we've talked about or brought up before. We have to get a good dose, and sometimes we have to get multiple doses of nothing but courage. Nothing but courage. Again, because what is needed when facing overwhelming odds, things that are bigger than life in us, things that are looming large in our lives, it takes courage to face the overwhelming challenge, all right? And so we have to get a dose of courage, sometimes multiple doses of it, all right? You don't stop taking your medicine once you've taken it one day. You don't take your medicine one day a week, all right? Generally, you take your medicine on a daily basis. Unless you're fasting, you generally don't eat just one meal a week, because if you do, you get a little weak and you falter. All right. We normally eat on a daily basis. All right. So that we can retain our strength. And so sometimes not only do we need a dose, but sometimes we just got to get a multiple dose of courage. And that's really what God told Joshua in Joshua chapter one, as he took over from Moses after Moses was sharing with the people of Israel what they need to do and not to do in going into possessing and conquering the promised land. This is God talking to Joshua out of Joshua chapter one. And it reads like this in verse two. Again, the Lord speaks to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, my servant Moses is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Look at verse six and verse seven. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall you divide an inheritance, the land which I swear unto your fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that you mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper whithersoever, wheresoever you may go. All right. God was calling Joshua really to get a dose of courage. He was challenging Joshua to get a hold of courage. And I hope this is blessing somebody here this morning. Now, this call to courage is actually a call to faith. A call to courage is actually a call to faith. It's a call to believe God's promise, all right? You get that? Because everything God says to him here about being strong and to have good courage, to be strong in courage, actually is based off of what God says to him, his promise. Because an element of us developing the courage needed when facing challenges is God's promise, God's word. Look at what he says again here in first Joshua chapter 1. Okay, we read verse 2. Look at what he says in verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness, and this Lebanon, he's talking about, he's laying out the boundaries now, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. All right. He says, every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. And then in verse 5, he says, there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. And so the element of developing the courage needed when facing challenges in life and great struggles is really God's promise, God's word. For believing God's promise leads to courage, all right? Believing God's promise, internalizing God's promise, builds courage in our hearts so that our hearts will not fail for fear of what we see, all right? Believing God's promise leads to courage for victory, for obtaining that victory. Again, look what he said in verse 6. He says, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall you divide for an inheritance. He says, you will divide an inheritance. You will get into the land and divide the inheritance, all right, unto the people. That was God's promise, all right? That was an encouragement. That was building courage in their heart that they know that, hey, believing God's promise, I've got the courage to attain victory. And not only that, sometimes we need courage to simply obey God's word. Again, that's what he says in verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest what? Observe to do according to all of the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper or have success, all right? That you may prosper whithersoever, wheresoever you may go. We need courage to know that we will attain victory, and we need courage to obey God's word and God's command. It takes courage to do that. It took courage for Abraham to leave his homeland, his kindred, all right, and to go to a land where he didn't even know where he was going. It took courage to break away and to go, because what happens? Again, fear restrains, but courage releases, all right? And so God was calling Joshua to take a hold of courage by believing the promise of God. And in so doing, it leads to attaining victory, believing that I do have the victory. I have the victory. I have the victory. And it gives us courage to obey the word of God. Because sometimes God will challenge us to do something or not to do something. God will challenge us something that is bigger than we are, that seems like we're not able to accomplish it. God will challenge us, all right, to do something that we've got to dismantle fear even in doing what God says to do. And so in spite of the overwhelming odds in facing Goliath, excuse me again, David saw this as an easy match, all right? In spite of the overwhelming odds before him, in facing Goliath, David saw this as an easy match. You say, how is that, Brother Pastor? How in the world can that be? Well, it's probably that David was thinking to himself, think about it now, get the picture. Who's out here? Goliath. This man is 9 feet, close to 10 feet tall. He's got a massive armor on him that probably even makes him something a whole lot more. All right, magnifies him even more because of the armor, the heaviness of the armor that he has upon him. David probably was thinking, man, this is an easy match. How's that? Because with a target this big, how in the world can I miss it? You catch it? You get that? With a target this big, even though Goliath instilled fear in the hearts of Saul and the Israelite army because of his massiveness, David looked at that and said, man, with a target this big, y'all know how it is sometimes. You get the dartboard, all right? The target is right there in the center, right? And it's the small center of the whole target. Concentric circles building out, all right? You got a big old circle there. But the target is the center, all right? That dot right in the center. And it's the smallest thing, all right, that we see of those concentric circles of the target. It's the smallest, the center of it is the smallest, all right? And so we got to take the dart. We shoot the dart, trying to hit the target right in the center. Darts are going everywhere. Even when you go to some of y'all that are packing, got your guns, all right? And you go to target practice, all right? Call it target practice, all right? You're trying to hit the center, hit the main point. And sometimes you look at the chart and look at the graph after all of your shots. Your shots are going everywhere because you missed the target, right? But David said, this target is so big. David took the bigness, all right, the giganticness, and twisted it and turned it around and say, hey, man, there is no way that I can miss taking this dude down as big as he is. And so, my friend, my brothers and my sisters, no matter how big it looks before you, no matter how looming, how large the obstacle is before you, if it's so big, hey, you're going to be able to knock that thing down. You're going to be able to run that thing over. All right. You're not going to miss the target because with courage, with the courage that you have of God and courage because of God's word, you can go forward. All right. And face the challenge, confront that big old challenge that's before you and take it down. Just as David, as we'll see in a little bit as we continue in this story later on, how the David took down Goliath. Now, next Sunday, return with me. My time is up. I want you to return with me next Sunday. And just real quick there before we get off, just let me know what this has done for you today. If it's helped you out today or not, type it in there. Let me know if this has helped anybody out today. If this has been an encouragement, this has been a strength of inspiration for you. This has given you some impetus to say, hey, man, I can do this thing. All right. I can win in this situation. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. So return with me next Sunday, Lord willing. All right. And we'll continue with this beginning portion of this conversation between David and Saul. Again, to see, we'll take a look at how Saul saw this match. All right. We see how David saw the match. David thought that it was an easy match. But we'll come back next Sunday. We'll take a look and see how Saul saw this match and deduce then what is the second challenge we have to resolve to confront. And what is needed in addition to courage in making the resolve to face a challenge. I pray to God that this has been a blessing to you today. And I might this might become a part of a little booklet as well, this whole series here, because it's been an encouragement to me. It's been a strength to me. And sometimes it's through the familiar that we actually gained some great insight. And when you look at it from all of its angles, you're able to see the familiar a little differently. And it gives you the strength and the fortitude and the insight that you need to go forward. So I want to pray with you as we close out here this morning. It's been so good again to be with you on this Lord's Day. And I just thank God for you. Thank God for his grace upon your life. And know that God is not finished with you yet. No matter what it looks like right now, God is not finished with you. It may even look like you're going down yourself, but God is not finished with you. It is not over. It is not over. It is not over until God says it's over. And in praying today, I also want to pray for those of you who may not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You may not have repented of your sins. You may feel that everything is all right, but you want to go to heaven. There's only one way to get to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary's cross for our sins. He died in our place that we might have a right to what we call, what the Bible calls, the tree of life. All right. And that is only through Jesus Christ. Jesus said that I've come that you might have life and that more abundantly. And God, the Father, said of his Son, and that it's written of him, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And if that's you today, friend, I'm going to pray for you, first of all. I'm going to pray for you, first of all. And after praying with you, I'm going to pray for the others here in regards to today's word. But if that's you and you want to receive Jesus Christ in your heart today to repent of your sins and ask God to save you, repeat this prayer after me, if you would, please. Father, I thank you for giving me an opportunity to have life. I thank you for Jesus, who you sent to this earth that I might have life and it more abundantly. Right now, I confess my sin. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. Wash me clean and make me whole. And I receive Jesus Christ into my heart. I confess Jesus as Lord of my life and my Savior. I pray, God, that you would grant unto me and fill me with your Spirit, that you will live in me and I will live in you. In Jesus' name, amen. And for those of you that may be facing some tremendous challenges right now, I just want to pray with you as well. Father, I thank you again for this word that has come to be imparted, God, to strengthen us in the midst of the battles that we all are facing, in the midst of the trial and the trouble that may be plaguing us, and even beyond coronavirus, beyond that, God, there are yet still things that often loom large in our lives that, God, seemingly are overwhelming and overtaking us. But God, you're greater than what we see. Help us, Lord, to dismantle the inside pressure of fear. Help us, God, to tackle it and take it down. Grant unto us, God, the courage that you even instructed Joshua to get a hold of, God. Grant unto us, God, the courage that we need in order to stand up and to fight against the fear that sometimes derails us, restrains us, immobilizes us, and keeps us down. Give us the release that we need through the courage that we have in you and because of the great promise of your word. I pray in Jesus' name again. Amen. Now, if you are one who prayed that prayer to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life today, I want to hear from you. We want to know. So please text right there under the screen that you see it, the number. Text 767-672-317-676-0134. Again, if you prayed that prayer, text us and let us know. Text 767-672-317-676-0134. And you'll get a reply text and hit the link there and let us know who you are. And in the comment section, just let us know, I prayed that prayer, because we want to be in contact with you to be a strength and to help to you along your spiritual journey. And that's a great thing to know, that if any man, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new, and all things, the new things, are of God, and God wants to do a new thing in your life. So text us so we can communicate with you and be in touch with you. And again, if you have a prayer request, if you have any questions, you can text that again, 767-672-317-676-0134. And certainly, we would love for you to support the ministry Citadel. There are four ways you can do that. One is through Cash App. And that's $COFCOGIC. Again, $COFCOGIC. You also can hit the blue bar that reads Use App on our Facebook fan page there, our profile page, and hit that blue bar, and it will take you directly to another way in which you can give, and that is Givelify, through Givelify. And the Givelify, you can find us under Citadel of Faith, Church of God in Christ. And also through PayPal, we can receive donations, and you can tithe, or you can sow a seed through PayPal. And that, again, is to Citadel of Faith, Church of God in Christ. Or if you like to mail to the church, you can do so at 7676 East 38th Street in the city of Indianapolis, Indiana. The zip code is 46226. We certainly sincerely appreciate any support that you give to us. No amount is too small, no amount is too large, and I know that God will bless you with that. And so as we leave now, just want you to know we may be leaving you now, but you can always take us along with you. You can always take us along with you. Bible teaching on the go through our podcast, A Journey to the Citadel, Journey to the Citadel. You can find us on Spotify, Apple and Google Podcasts, Pandora, Soundbreaker, iHeartRadio, and even also on our Citadel website, CitadelKojic.com. So you can take us along with us, take us along with you, no matter where you are, in your car, at home. We're right there with you. We can get some teaching from the Word of God. Please like us here on Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and that is the @ Citadel Kojic. That's C-I-T-A-D-E-L Kojic, C-O-G-I-C, @CitadelKojic. And I just want you to know that we love you. Lady Rita loves you tremendously as well, but God loves you more. And so until next Sunday, be encouraged by the Word of God, because God gives us the victory. God bless, and have a tremendous remaining Lord's Day.